Good morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6. Actually, we'll start in chapter 5 in just a minute. We're going to study together. I'm going to ask you to study with me a little bit today. We're going to do some reading from the New Testament and from the Old Testament. And it's going to be kind of a little bit of work for us to dig some things out that apply to this text that we're in the Gospel of Luke. So we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, picking out the lessons that we believe are contained therein. And this morning's lesson is called Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll see that statement made by the Lord in the context of the disciples being accused by the Pharisees of unlawfully plucking grain as they passed through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. And Jesus' response to that and his teaching concerning that. And the emphasis in the story is very much on the mercy that we are supposed to have in our dealing with one another, our treatment of one another. So that's what we're going to focus in on as a practical application this morning. So I'll ask you, how important is it for you to show mercy to your fellow man? And everybody should say, pretty important. And there's a good reason for that, because in the scriptures, we're told that judgment, God's judgment upon us, will be merciless to those who have shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James chapter 2 and verse 13. Jesus, when he gave the model prayer, after giving that prayer, he advised the disciples. He said, if you forgive your brother his trespasses, then God will forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive your brother his trespasses, then God will not forgive you your trespasses. And that's the idea of mercy. If you want God to be merciful to you, and by the way, that's what we all need. Once we come to understand that, we come to understand a very important part of the gospel, that we all need mercy. Because, as Justin was getting at, there was no solution to our problem on our own. We can't fix the problem. We've sinned against the holy God. He can't be in the presence of sin and unrighteousness, so we can't be with God. That's our problem. And nothing that we can do will solve that. And so what do we need from God? Mercy. We need forgiveness. And he provided his justice to satisfy the cost of sin, the payment for sin, through sending his son Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross of Calvary, thereby what? Satisfying his justice and also showing mercy. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the theme of the gospel. God has shown us mercy. He's given us his grace. And so as a result of that, God requires us to show mercy to others. And he says, if we don't do that, then he will not show us mercy. So how important is mercy? It's extremely important. And so today's lesson will focus on that. But we're going to dig some other things out of the text as well. But if you'd like to read with me, let's just look at the context. We looked at this last lesson on Luke and how Luke has been emphasizing Jesus' authority in his gospel. And so you see all these different sections of Luke starting in chapter 4 and verse 32 about how he taught with authority. And then we see a story about his authority over demons. And then he provides the fish, the great catch of fish in Luke 5. And so his authority over creation, chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, the leper, the healing of the leper, authority over the worst diseases possible. And then in chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, his authority to forgive sins. His healing proved his authority to forgive sins. And so we come then, and the emphasis of Luke is that Jesus has all authority. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one whom we must obey. So when you continue on in Luke, starting in chapter 5, verse 27, Luke transitions to the pride and the self-righteousness of the Pharisees in not submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. They are unwilling to submit to His authority. They're filled with pride and they're filled with self-righteousness. And so he talks about the meal at Levi's house where the Pharisees complained, "Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners?" And then in chapter 5, you know, "Why don't your disciples fast like our disciples fast and like the disciples of John?" So they're filled with pride and self-righteousness. And then Jesus tells the parables of the old garments and the wineskins. You know, you can't put a new patch on an old garment. It's going to rip and tear away. And you can't put new wine into old wineskins because when it expands, it'll break the wineskin, the old wineskin. And so he's using a parable to describe the hearts of the Pharisees, their unwillingness to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. They want the old wine, not the new wine, so to speak. And they want their authority. They don't want to submit to the authority of Jesus. So that's the context that we come to when we come to Luke chapter 6, which is the primary focus of our study this morning. So Luke has already transitioned to looking at the Pharisees. And so now let's look a little more closely at them. Let's read in chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. "On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?'" Let's pause there for a moment because you need to understand why they would even say that, right? It was unlawful to work on the Sabbath. Now, it's interesting. You couldn't glean your fields You couldn't harvest your fields. You couldn't use a sickle to cut down stuff because it was more than what you would need to eat for that day. You were allowed to prepare your food for that day. You just weren't allowed to harvest it, right, from the fields. So the disciples are going through the fields following after Jesus, and they're hungry. And so they pick some of the grain off of the fields, the outside of the fields they were allowed to glean from according to the law, and they ate it because they were hungry. And the Pharisees objected to that. They were always looking to accuse Jesus and his disciples anyway, and they said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And so Jesus responds, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him." So that's his answer initially. That go back and look at David, what he did when he ate of the showbread in the tabernacle, which was not lawful for any but the priest to eat. Have you not read that? That's the story he's pointing them back to. And then he follows that up with saying, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And that's it. He's done in that particular story in Luke. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So there's a few questions that arise when you're looking at this story. And some of them are difficult questions. For example, is Jesus saying that what David did was wrong? Well, then why wasn't he punished for it? Was Jesus saying that, "Well, you know, you Pharisees, your hero David did what was wrong, but you didn't correct him, or you didn't think poorly of him, or you didn't think that he did wrong. So why are you thinking my disciples are wrong just for picking some grain out of a..." You know, a lot of questions arise as to what Jesus is getting at here in this very short answer. Have you not read about David and the showbread when he ate what was unlawful to eat? Now, I think Jesus is showing this example of David not because he's saying that David did something wrong and needed to be punished for it, but he's using it as an example of the mercy that God is willing to show David. And you can look at that in this story, and have you not read that? And therefore, why are you so unmerciful to my disciples who pluck a few grains to eat when they're hungry on the Sabbath. That's my general summary of what I believe Jesus' point is there. And we're going to dig into that, though, in just a minute, and I'm going to show you why I believe that. The reason why people think that that's not the right answer oftentimes is because they're afraid of opening up that door to what we call situation ethics. They're afraid of opening up that door that Jesus might have said it was okay for David to violate this law in order to do something good for himself because he was hungry. That's what we would typically call situation ethics. That's typically, now, situation ethics is like, well, it's okay not to follow God's law when you think it'll work out better or do more good if you don't. And we don't believe that. That's not what's taught in the Scriptures. Situation ethics is not what's taught in the Scriptures. You don't just change God's law and violate God's law just because you think it'll be better or do more good. That is absolutely not the way you handle God's law. And so when people read this story, they worry a little bit about deriving a solution to this and saying that, well, David, it was okay for David to violate God's law and eat the showbread because, you know, it was good. It was better. It was good for him. Hey, he was hungry. And so they feel that that's opening up the door to situation ethics. And so what they do is they interpret this, I think, wrongly. They're so afraid of opening up that door to situation ethics that they miss the point that Jesus is making. Jesus is not opening up the door to situation ethics here, but he is using David as an example that would be similar to what was going on with his disciples. And the Pharisees were interpreting the law of the Sabbath in an unmerciful way. And he's pointing that out and he's using David as an example. Was it really wrong for the disciples to pluck grain and eat it on the Sabbath day? Absolutely not, but the Pharisees thought it was. It was not a violation of the law to do that. They were allowed to get food for themselves and what they needed for that day. They just weren't allowed to use a sickle and cut it down and store it up and work. But everybody worked on the Sabbath to an extent in preparation of the food that they ate for that day. What are the women doing when they're cooking the meal on the Sabbath day? They're working. They're preparing. So the disciples are going through the grain fields and they're just taking what was lawful to take, the outside of the fields, and eating it. So the Pharisees were interpreting the Sabbath laws very unmercifully, weren't they? And Jesus is using this example of David to point to some similar circumstance. So he's not using David as a negative example here. He's using him as a positive example. And I think that's necessary to understand the text that way. And why people don't is because they're afraid it opens up this door to situation ethics. All right, so I want to show you the parallel passages. If you look in Mark chapter 2, and by the way, I'll make mention before we go further, the follow-up on this is that Jesus goes away from there, and then he heals somebody on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are extremely angry about that. And Jesus says to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? This is Luke 6 and verse 9. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or destroy it? And after looking around at them all, he said, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. These men do not have good hearts. And Jesus is rebuking them. And he is pointing that out to them, and he's pretty much in their face with this healing on the Sabbath. And his question is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? So you see how that's all connected there. They're misunderstanding the Sabbath. Now, when you go to Mark chapter 2, and you see the parallel passage there, it's the same two stories. The disciples are going through the grain fields. And then the next story in Mark chapter 3 is about his healing of the man with the withered hand. Same two stories.
But if you'll notice, it says the Pharisees were saying to him in verse 24, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, or Abiathar. I don't know how to pronounce that. Abiathar, I'm going to say from now on. Sounds better. Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, that's a little different statement than what Luke said. So this is an addition. This is another thing that Jesus said in this context. And Mark records that. Luke does not. But notice what the question is, or the statement is. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So he's trying to get them to see that their interpretation of the Sabbath laws is wrong. And he's pointing that out to them. Now you come down to, and then you see in Mark chapter 3, the same story of the man with the withered hand. Now you come down to, Matthew's gospel, and you get a little bit lengthier treatment here of this same story. Matthew chapter 12. So just kind of follow with me here, and I'm going to point out some of the differences here of what Matthew recorded. It says in verse 1, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. We've already observed that their interpretation was wrong. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law? And here's an addition. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? So he's adding that argument in. Have you not read? These are men who are supposed to know the law. Have you not read the law how the priests profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? How did the priests profane the Sabbath? Well, there are various laws that they must perform on the Sabbath days. They're working on the Sabbath. If a child is, let's for example, in his eighth day needs to be circumcised, they're going to circumcise him on the Sabbath. The priests work on the Sabbath, so to speak. So Jesus said, have you not looked at that? Have you not tried to understand that about the Sabbath? He's trying to get the Pharisees to see that they're very unmerciful and unyielding in their understanding of God's laws on the Sabbath. Now, continuing down, he says, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And then he'll say later, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's pointing to the fact that he is greater even than the temple that the priests served in. And he's going to, I'll get to that point in just a moment and show you what he meant by that. And then here's what I think stands out in Matthew's account. In verse 7, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So you see, there's a lot more in that story in Matthew. If you had learned what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Does God desire sacrifice? Yes, of course he does. But what does he desire more? And that's the construction of the not but phrase that Jesus uses. What does he desire more? He does desire sacrifice. He does desire a keeping of the law. But what does he desire even more than that? Or along with that, included in that? Mercy. And so he's pointing out their absence of mercy in their understanding of the law. And so, you have missed every message, Jesus says, that God intended for you to see regarding the Sabbath. You've missed every point that God wanted you to see regarding the Sabbath. What was the Sabbath really about? Rest, right? You always associate rest with the Sabbath, right? But it was about deliverance as well. It was given as a memorial of God's deliverance of the nation of Israel out of the bondage of slavery into the rest that they would enjoy in the promised land. Deliverance, mercy, grace, kindness,
That's what the Sabbath is all about. And now the Pharisees are condemning Jesus' disciples because they picked some grains out of a grain field, which was lawful to do, and they did it on the Sabbath. Oh, they violated the Sabbath.
So you can see the lack of mercy. And so I think of Matthew chapter 23, which we had up on the board right before the announcements, or after the announcements. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, that's the sacrifices, you tithe them, you give them, you sacrifice these things in the form of tithes, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel.
Now, let's not get lost in this. Let's understand that this is a principle that, it, yes, in this context is relating to the Sabbath, but it relates to every aspect of God's law. You interpret and apply God's law with mercy. He desires mercy in the application of His law. Now, think about that in context of relationships. Think about that in context of husbands and wives, and of brothers and sisters, and of brethren in the church, and all of the relationships that you have. You're always seeing people do what? Violate God's law. And the more you know God's law, the more you see people violating God's law. Like the Pharisees. Did they know the law? Oh man, they could pick out a lawbreaker in a moment, in a heart. In fact, they were looking for it. They could see it everywhere. Sinner, sinner, sinner. That's wrong, that's wrong. They knew their law. And they could observe it and find it and pick it out everywhere.
Now, how different are we from that? Can you see?
Can you see the sin all around you? Can you pick it out? Can you observe it? Can you notice it? Do you see it in your wife? Do you see it in your children? Do you see it in your brethren? You bet you do. Now, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You're going to apply God's law with mercy, or God is not going to show mercy to you. That does not mean that you don't point out sin. It doesn't mean that you don't correct. What it does mean is that you pray and you consider and you think about God's love and God's mercy toward you, and you go with humility and you go with grace and you go with a desire to help. You go with a desire to pull somebody out of a difficulty, to support them in their need, to listen to them in case you're wrong about your observation. You go with mercy because that's what you need. And you tell me if that isn't applicable across every aspect of our lives on a daily basis. This principle of I desire sacrifice, or I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
You think about that one phrase
and it starts to take on an entire meaning of daily living. Because you're going to see sin all around you. You're going to see people who frustrate you, people who act badly, people who don't treat you right, people who do wrongly. And you're going to have to fill your heart with mercy toward them. Because if you don't, then God is not going to show mercy to you.
And that's what Jesus is getting at here with these Pharisees. Now, we really don't have as much time as I wanted to have for this.
I've been studying this all week long, trying to understand the details of this story. So I'm going to try to pull out just a couple of things for you. I'm not probably going to do justice to it, but I'm going to try. All right?
Why does he bring up David and the showbread? I believe he's telling them the same thing. You have missed every message God intended for you to see regarding David eating the showbread. You've missed it. You don't understand it at all. That's why he's driving them back to it.
Have you not read about David and the showbread and how he ate that which was unlawful for him to eat?
when he was hungry and his men with him? So is he saying, well, you can just ignore God's law anytime you want to as long as you think it's good for you? No, of course not. That's never anything Jesus would teach. But what he is showing is that the application of God's law requires a merciful interpretation and understanding. So let's look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 21 in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1 beginning. 1 Samuel 21 and verse 1. Then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. Now, David is running from Saul. Saul is after David. Jonathan, Saul's son, is good friends with David and has warned David and helped David to get away from Saul. And David's on the run because Saul knows that David has been appointed by God to take his place as king. And Saul is after him. And so David comes to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you? I'm worried about you, David. I'm fearful for you. Why don't you have any men with you?" And David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place.'" Total lie. Total fabrication. Made it up. Not true. "The king has sent me on a mission." Not at all. Total lie. We'll talk about that later. We already talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but I'll hint at that later in just a moment. All right, keep going in the story. Now then, David says, "What do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here." And the priest answered David, "I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread if the young men have kept themselves from women." And David answered the priest, "Truly, women have been kept from us as always. When I go on an expedition, the vessels of the young men are holy, even when it is an ordinary journey. How much more today would their vessels be holy?" The idea being clean, holy, pure. In the old law was very important. So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. So this is bread that had been used already for 7 days before the Lord. Now it belongs to the priests. It belongs to Ahimelech. It's been replaced. There's new loaves that are presented before the Lord, and this bread is no longer before the Lord. It's now in the possession of the priests. And it's commanded in the law for the priests to eat this bread. This bread is given to the priests. It's holy unto the Lord. And the priests are the only ones who are allowed by the law to eat it. Hence Jesus saying, which it was unlawful for David to eat. He wasn't a priest. That bread was for the priests to eat. And it was now in Ahimelech's possession. So it sure seems like David's doing something wrong here. Ahimelech gives him the bread. Now, you can make the argument that Ahimelech and David both violated the law. Ahimelech shouldn't have given him the bread. It was supposed to be eaten by the priests. But Ahimelech gives him the bread. David's on the run from Saul. Ahimelech doesn't know that. But David's hungry. He's in need. His men are in need. And so Ahimelech gives him the bread. Shows him mercy. Doesn't he? Ahimelech shows him mercy and kindness by giving him the bread. All right, keep going. Verse 7. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. He's detained there before the Lord, meaning what? He's there to offer up sacrifices to the Lord. He is providing a service to the Lord. He's doing something religious, and he's been detained there at the tabernacle to carry out this religious function. So he overhears this. He sees this go on. And so in verse 8, David said to Ahimelech, "Then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me." And then Ahimelech gives him Goliath's sword. And David says, "Yes, this will work. This will work." All right, now, David goes from there then, after he's taken the bread
and he goes down to the Philistines, and he's afraid because they are now aware of who he is and how he's going to be God's anointed. And so he acts crazy in front of the king. He acts insane. He's slobbering all over himself. He's all kinds of gibberish. And the king of Achish, he sends him away. Get this man out of here. We're not worried about him. Nothing to fear here. So then David goes down to the cave of Adullam. And he hides there in the cave, and all of these men come to him. 400 men come to him in the cave of Adullam. This is chapter 22 then. Now, what happens in between is Saul, verse 7 of 1 Samuel 22, Saul, King Saul, says to his servants in verse 7, "Hear now, people of Benjamin. Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." And then answered Doeg the now we got Doeg the Edomite back. Then answered Doeg the Edomite. So Saul's very angry because people are conspiring. David's conspiring against him, he thinks, and now nobody's reporting this to him. Everybody's conspiring against me. Will none of you feel sorry for me and help me? And so Doeg the Edomite speaks up in verse 9. He says, "I saw the son of Jesse," that's David, "coming to Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And the king sent to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all of his father's house, the priests who were at Nob, and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, 'Hear now, son of Ahitub.' And he answered, 'Here I am, my lord.' And Saul said to him, 'Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you've given him bread and sword and have inquired of God for him so that he has risen against me to lie in wait as to this day?' And Ahimelech answered the king, 'And who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law and captain over your bodyguard and honored in your house? Is today the first time that I have inquired of God for him? No, let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little.'" Ahimelech didn't have a clue. "I'm innocent. I didn't conspire against you." Now, why didn't Ahimelech have a clue? Because David lied to him. David lied to him. And so Ahimelech inquired of the Lord, and Ahimelech gave him the bread. Ahimelech gave him Goliath's sword, and he didn't think anything of it. "I'm helping Saul. I'm helping David." And so Ahimelech pleads innocence before Saul. And then in verse 16, the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." And the king said to the guard who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David. And they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me. But the servants of the king would not put their hand to strike the priests of the Lord." And then the king said to Doeg, "You turn and strike the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, he put to the sword. Both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, sheep, he put to the sword. And then Abiathar, Ahimelech's son, fled and reported to David what had been done. And look at what David says in verse 22. "I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house.'" The guilt. Now, come back to David's lie. If he had told Ahimelech the truth, Ahimelech would not have been found guilty and killed, and all of his household, all of the priests, everybody in the town of Nob, every beast, every person, every child was killed because David lied to Ahimelech. And David said, "I have caused this to happen. So that's a good thing to remember about lying. Lying hurts. It doesn't. You say, "Well, I can lie because it only hurts me, or it's only my problem." No, lying is always something that has consequences in the long run, if not the short run. And here's a perfect example of that. Now, all right, I finished the story. Now I'm just going to quickly run through some points of this. Why didn't God punish David?
When Saul tried to be a priest and offer up sacrifices to the Lord, he took Saul's kingdom away. When Uzziah tried to be a priest and offer up sacrifices to the Lord, violate the priestly laws, he gave Uzziah leprosy. What's going on here? David, you're eating the unlawful showbread. It's unlawful for you to eat this. Why didn't God punish him? And why is Jesus then making a reference to it in the New Testament as though it's something that is okay?
That's the difficulty with this text. And I'm going to show you what I think. First of all, was David trying to function as a priest? Like Saul? No. Like Uzziah? No. And second of all, I don't have this on here, was that bread not Ahimelech's now? It was no longer before the Lord. It was now in the possession of the priest. Was it not Ahimelech's to do with what he desired to do with it? You might say no, because only the priests were allowed to eat it. That's true. But David did not try to function as a priest. David was not like Saul. David was not like Uzziah. He was not trying to take on priestly duties at all. He was hungry. And when you say hungry, I mean real hungry. Not like I get at about 11:40, 11:35 on Sunday morning. Ahimelech inquired of God, "Have you not read? Have you not read?" Three times. First, Doeg tells Saul that. Then Saul repeats it. And then Ahimelech doesn't deny it. In fact, he says, "Is this the first time that I've inquired of the Lord for David?" So you don't read that in the story until you get to chapter 22. You don't read that in the initial story in chapter 21 that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord. So here's the point. Who gave Ahimelech permission to give the bread to David? He inquired of the Lord. Now think about that. The Lord was merciful to David. The Lord was merciful to him. When Ahimelech got an answer back from the Lord, if the Lord had said no, do you think Ahimelech would have given the bread to David? Absolutely not. The Lord gave permission for that bread to be used mercifully. In an emergency. It was nothing that the Lord wanted anybody to do on a regular basis. But in that particular situation, in an emergency, when there was a need, the Lord showed mercy and gave permission for David to eat that bread. Have you not read? Now you come back to the story. And the disciples are totally, mercilessly, harshly interpreting God's law, when in fact God's law doesn't even require such an interpretation. So not only are they wrong about the interpretation, but they're harsh and unmerciful in making it. And so you see, it's a double situation, so to speak, for them. Their hearts are very hard. And here's another point. Why does Jesus then, in Luke, follow this story with this simple statement? The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Let me suggest to you this. The same God that gave permission for David to eat the bread is the same God that gave permission for His disciples to glean from the grain fields. The Son of Man, God in the flesh, is Lord of the Sabbath. He knows what the Sabbath is about. He created the Sabbath. He gave the laws of the Sabbath. So now Jesus is pointing to His authority. Once again, they're not willing to submit to His authority. And therefore, their interpretation is harsh and unmerciful and wrong. And so it's just amazing how concise Jesus is when he rebukes. You want more? You want to hear? Explain, Jesus. No, that's all he said there.
All right, and then in Matthew chapter 12, he does say more, a little bit more. He says, I desire mercy and not. Go and learn what this means. So he helps them to see where their real problem is. All right. Doeg the Edomite. Just come back to him for a second.
Think about Doeg. Who does that remind you of? Why does Jesus send them back to the story of David and the showbread? Oh, Doeg the Edomite is accusing Ahimelech, God's anointed. He's accusing Ahimelech of wrongdoing. That's exactly what the Pharisees are doing with God's anointed Jesus the Christ. Accusing him and his disciples of wrongdoing. Doeg is going and trying to get them.
In this particular context, he gets them all killed. And so think about the parallels there. What do the Pharisees do when Jesus reproves them? What do they do when he heals the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath? What do? They go out and plot and scheme to murder the Son of God, to murder God's anointed. The parallels are rather interesting, aren't they? Doeg the Edomite and the Pharisees. I won't read you Psalm 52. That's David's psalm. It says, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. David wrote a psalm about Doeg and his wickedness. We won't take the time to read that. Now, my final point is not really all that important. It's just interesting.
Do you know that in Mark, Jesus says that it was in the time of Abiathar, the high priest? And the critics have been saying for centuries now, the Bible's wrong, Jesus was wrong, Mark was wrong, the Holy Spirit is wrong, because it wasn't. It was in the time of Ahimelech, right? Abiathar was Ahimelech's son. He was just there. And he ran off and but Abiathar did become high priest under David. And so Jesus says, in the time of Abiathar, the high priest. And the critics go crazy. They think Jesus was wrong. First of all, it's not uncommon at all for the time frames to be identified with major characters. And Abiathar became a major character as high priest under David, God's anointed. So that's just not even an issue.
Totally common in the Bible for time frames to be identified that way. But here's something else.
Why did Jesus say Abiathar, the high priest? Maybe he was pointing these wicked, harsh, merciless Pharisees back to the story of David and pointing out Abiathar, you know, signaling through the name Abiathar the very circumstances at which he became the high priest. And what were those circumstances? When Doeg the Edomite lied and accused and murdered Ahimelech and 85 priests and the entire city of Nob, and then and only then did Abiathar become the high priest. So think about it. In the context of the Pharisees trying to do what? Plot and scheme Jesus' death. He points them back to that time when the very same kind of thing was happening in the time of David, and Abiathar ended up being the high priest as a result of the murdering and the deceiving and the harsh, merciless actions of Doeg. All right, you've been very patient with me. I thought we'd go long today, and I didn't tell you ahead of time. But that's all right. We're here once a week on Sunday on the Lord's Day, so a few minutes over. Hopefully you'll be able to deal with that, and especially if you take away something good from the lesson. And you know what I want you to take away, what I hope we emphasized enough, is when you go home today, when you go out in your work week this week, and when you deal with your spouse, and when you deal with your children, and when you deal with all the people around you that are troublesome to you, that you remember that in the application of God's law, He wants you to show mercy. And that, to me, is so profound and so challenging and so difficult that it requires this kind of in-your-face teaching that Jesus gave the Pharisees. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to be like them. They were lost. They were hypocrites. We want to be like Jesus. So He desires mercy and not sacrifice. Appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning and you'd like to obey the gospel, we stand ready to help you.